2 years, 1.5 months, roughly. That's how long Russia's war with Ukraine has been dragging on since Russia invaded Ukraine. The Russian economy is kind of very much on a war footing, and it can be good for a time for economies to be on a war footing. I was reading an article in the Times of London yesterday morning with a military analyst saying we must start to consider the unthinkable. We must start to consider the fact that Russia might well control Kiev before the end of the third year of military hostilities. And certainly the West's attention has turned elsewhere, turned inwards in many cases, many Western populations less and less happy with the government's financial support of Ukraine. And yeah, there are sanctions against Russia, but those sanctions don't seem to be biting particularly, either for Russia as a nation state or for individual Russian companies and businesses. Obviously, there are negatives, but nowhere near what it was hoped the sanctions would achieve. And in other parts of the world, Russia's influence would appear to be growing rather than diminishing. And Africa is one place where I think it is possible to argue that Russia's influence is growing. The Wagner Group has been renamed Africa Corps. It has a mission in Africa, and that mission in many countries, particularly West Africa, but also in Sudan, for example, and other countries in Africa, seems to be succeeding. I was reading an opinion piece by a senior lecturer in politics and international relations at Leeds Beckett University, Olayinka Jala. And just to quote briefly from that, I have studied the region through a security and political lens for over a decade. Based on the research that I have done, I believe that Niger's decision to end military cooperation with the US will have a dramatic impact on security in the region. Olayinka Jala joins us now. I'm delighted. Got up early to talk to us from Leeds. Olayinka, good morning. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Not the greatest line, but we will do our best with what we have. Let's ask, I suppose, the obvious question first. Why has Niger waved goodbye to the US and opened arms to Russia?
Yeah, thank you very much. There are a couple of reasons why Niger is deciding to change its military cooperation. And one of the key reasons is the increase in terrorism and insecurity in Niger, and not just in Niger, around the borders with Burkina Faso and Mali as well. Just yesterday, we read about an ambush by ISIS terrorists in the Tillaberi region of Niger, where some Nigerian soldiers were killed, and some of them were also captured with some vital equipment captured. So what happened was, shortly after the coup, the U.S. declined to label it a coup in order to maintain some security cooperation. But around October, they were forced to call it a coup and then withdraw some support. So some of the support which they withdrew was in addition to supply of vital equipment, were also withholding intelligence. The U.S. has one of its biggest drone bases in Africa, in Agadez, Niger, where they carry out intelligence drones, surveillance drones from the region. So they stopped sharing intelligence with Niger, and I think the junta decided, well, if you are not going to supply us military equipment, and if you are not going to share intelligence with us, then you might as well leave. So that is one of the key reasons why they decided to part ways with the U.S. The other reason is, again, because Russia has been lurking around the corner. We've seen the exchange of visits in both ways, and Russia is positioning itself as a more reliable security partner. And now, again, linking to what you started talking about in terms of Russia being on the war footing, my thinking is, well, Russia is thinking long term. After the war in Ukraine, we will need somewhere to supply these weapons to. And perhaps they're already thinking about supplying the weapons to countries in Africa and across the Sahel.
So, I mean, certainly Russia's proxy in Africa, the Wagner Group, now the Africa Corps, has been much more interventionist, has been much more prepared to act against terrorist activities or resistance activities, I suppose, what you call them depends on how you view them. I mean, recently, human rights groups across the world are saying that the Africa Corps, working with the Malian army, killed several dozen civilians who were probably innocent of any wrongdoing. Has Niger officially invited Russia in yet, or is that likely to be a logically consequent following up of their withdrawal, their turning away from the US?
I think it's the latter. Presently, there is no indication that African Corps are in Niger. They just got to even Burkina Faso in January this year. The key presence was in Mali, where they have hundreds of fighters. And then in January 2024, just this year, the first group entered Burkina Faso. But currently, there is no indication that they are in Niger yet. And then because we still have the U.S. Soldiers are still based in Niger at the moment. But if every form of dialogue fails and the U.S. eventually leaves, then I think it's only a matter of time before they also have boots on the ground in Niger.
And the impact of those Russian boots on the ground in Niger, if it does seem almost inevitable that that is going to happen. I mean, if there is a vacuum, one can understand that in a vacuum, bad things often tend to happen. If the U.S. is not providing even limited information from its spy satellites and so on, and the Russians haven't begun yet to provide that information, then there's likely to be an escalation of attacks. But if in 6 months' time or 9 months' time there are Russian boots on the ground in Niger as well as in Burkina Faso and Mali, what then?
Yeah, my thinking is in the short to medium term, there will be an increase. There's already been an increase in escalation, as we've seen with this large attack, because terrorist groups or the insurgent groups, as you may call them, they will want to take advantage of the situation. They see that there is a lot of chaos, and this is the time for them to launch attacks and establish themselves in some ways. So this is already creating a lot of problems. But if we then flip the table and look at what is happening in Burkina Faso, in the last few months, Burkina Faso is turning the tide against terrorists, surprisingly, because they now control more region than they did 6 months ago. So that means there are some things that they are doing right in that country that needs to be explored in more details and investigated. But I think in the short term, the attacks are likely to increase. In the medium to long term, especially with the alliance formed by the three countries, if they are able to get support and the military alliance then kicks in, then they might also be able to turn the tide around. But we never know with these things, because on paper, it's looking very dire. But the story in Burkina Faso is telling us that they might be able to, because the problem is the kind of weapons their allies, such as the U.S. and France, were unable to give them because of fears of human rights abuses, are now being supplied to them by Russia and perhaps even Iran. So there might then be they might be able to take the initiative and then turn the tide around against the terrorist groups. We'd never know, to be honest. But in the short term, it's looking it's looking serious.
Thank you very much, Oyinga Jana, senior lecturer in politics and international relations at Leeds Beckett University.